Because of the unpredictable nature of the ongoing crisis, and because I haven't been able to make my full documentary over what I discovered of the JFK assassination, I'm going to make this video of me just talking into a mic, explaining not just the new evidence I found, but also explaining most of the confusion surrounding the assassination. My plan is to schedule on YouTube and in the podcast this video to release in a future date, just in case. Not that I expect anything bad to happen, but this is just to ensure that my new evidence does not die with me. Critical aspects of the assassination that I suspect is why most people misinterpret the evidence and are led to wrong conclusions. And not just the conspiracy theorists got quite a bit of it wrong, but so did the Warren Commission, and so did people that are ultimately agreed with the Warren Commission. And these three aspects are the first of the three aspects is motive. Why did Lee Harvey Oswald killed the president? Even though most people that agree with the Warren Commission concluded that the reason is because Lee Harvey Oswald wanted to become famous. That obviously does not make sense, because if he wanted to become famous for killing the president, why did Lee Harvey Oswald deny being the assassin? Why did he refer to himself as a patsy? And better yet, why, if his aim was to become famous for the assassination of the president, why didn't he simply just wait on the sixth floor by the window for the cops to show up? The second aspect that most people misinterpret is the evidence surrounding the actual shooting, the wounds of President Kennedy and Governor Connally, and the evidence of bullet holes within the car and the sequence of shots. A shot, a pause, and then another shot, and then another shot, meaning that there was a pause between shot one and two, but no pause between shot two and three. And also the rifle, the seemingly contradictory evidence that some people interpret that rifle that was found on the sixth floor was not the assassin's rifle. Actually, if you take all the evidence together, conclusively proves not only was the rifle found on the sixth floor the rifle of the assassin, but it was Lee Harvey Oswald, and it was only Lee Harvey Oswald shooting from that sixth floor window. In a little bit, when I describe the scenario, all the evidence that seems to contradict that it was one shooter and that it was Lee Harvey Oswald and that it was that rifle will make sense. And the third part that adds a great deal of confusion, the whole evidence surrounding the assassination, starting from when Lee Harvey Oswald was in New Orleans and all the way until the autopsy, all the evidence that indicates a cover-up, a conspiracy theorist misinterpret that as proof of a conspiracy to kill the president. The cover-up does not necessarily indicate that there was a conspiracy with multiple conspirators conspiring to kill the president. So the first part, motive, why did Lee Harvey Oswald kill the president, has a great deal to do with what was going on in New Orleans before the assassination, before Lee Harvey Oswald left New Orleans and came to the Dallas area. One of the things that the movie JFK by Oliver Stone got correct is what was going on in New Orleans prior to the assassination. Lee Harvey Oswald was associating with those people, with ex-FBI, current or ex-CIA, and anti-Castro Cubans, and they were up to sinister activities. That part is absolutely correct. Lee Harvey Oswald, to some capacity, I'm not sure exactly to what capacity, but he was active with those people. I don't know if he was an actual CIA agent or simply worked for CIA agents, but he was involved with them, and they were up to no good in New Orleans and beyond. So this is the scenario that I think explains motive, explains the events that followed, and explains why Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot the president on Houston Street. why Lee Harvey Oswald waited to shoot the president on Elm Street. And here's the reason. Lee Harvey Oswald was, like I said earlier, working with those people, but for some unknown reason, some reason that I haven't been able to figure out, but I'm fairly sure did happen because it explains the following events. They had a falling out. Either they simply stopped using Lee Harvey Oswald in their activities, or maybe they fired Lee Harvey Oswald. But whichever the case, Lee Harvey Oswald left New Orleans because he was no longer working with those people and went to Dallas to try to get back together with his wife. But unfortunately for Lee Harvey Oswald, that also did not work out. So then Lee Harvey Oswald started trying to come up with a scheme to impress those people, the New Orleans people, so that he could get back together with them. So he came up with a scheme of going to Mexico City and try to infiltrate the Russian embassy. But unfortunately, again for Oswald, that did not work out. So from there, he went to the Cuban embassy, and that did not work out as well. And then it seems, going by actual testimony of people there, that he had a meeting with some Cubans, and for whatever reason, apparently, that did not work out as well. So he comes back. He leaves Mexico City and comes back to the Dallas area. And then that's where he finds out that the president of the United States is going to be in Dallas. And not just that, but he's going to be driving by his place of work. That's when Lee Harvey Oswald concocts the scheme to kill the president. And why does he do this? Because he wants to impress those people in New Orleans. He wants to get back together with them. And this was a well-known secret within the CIA and within military circles. They hated President Kennedy because of the Bay of Pigs fiasco. They blamed President Kennedy for it, for the failure of the Bay of Pigs. So they hated him, and they openly talked negatively and viciously about the president. And I think they openly spoke in front of Lee Harvey Oswald about killing the president. Not that they were going to do it or they had serious plans to do it, but they talked about it, maybe fantasized about it. They probably, I suspect, would have never gone through with it. But Lee Harvey Oswald being included in these gatherings where they openly spoke about killing the president. And then when Lee Harvey Oswald is over here in Dallas by himself trying to get back together with them, sees the opportunity to kill the president, to actually kill the president, that's when he decides that he's going to kill the president. So why did Lee Harvey Oswald not shoot the president when he was coming down Houston Street? Why did he wait to shoot him on Elm Street, a much worse shot? Well, the reason is because if Lee Harvey Oswald had shot the president on Houston Street, the Secret Service, they were on the car behind the president, would have obviously seen Lee Harvey Oswald shooting, so he wouldn't have been able to get away with it. The reason he waited to shoot on Elm Street is because Lee Harvey Oswald wanted to get away with the assassination of the president, because he was not doing it for fame. He was doing it to get back together with those people in New Orleans. This motive, not only does it explain everything, but it explains why he called himself a patsy. And it'll explain much more in a little bit, but I'll get to that after I describe what actually happened in the presidential limousine. I'll explain not just all the wounds of the president and Governor Connally, but also the bullet hole in the windshield. One of the big reasons that most people disbelieve the Warren Commission is because of the magic bullet theory. The magic bullet theory is the definition of ridiculous. It couldn't have possibly happened that way for multiple reasons, but here is what I think actually happened. Lee Harvey Oswald, as we know, because of the Warren Commission report, where it admits that that rifle, that scope was completely useless, that it did not line up with the rifle. So what Lee Harvey Oswald did was, for his first shot, he used the side-mounted scope to shoot at the president. But that completely missed. It didn't even hit the car. So why was there a pause between shot one and two, but no pause between shot two and three? It's because Lee Harvey Oswald takes a moment to realize that the scope is useless, so he readjusts to use the native sights. Because it was a side-mounted scope, it left the native sights as a second option. So Lee Harvey Oswald takes the second shot with the sights and shoots the president in the back of the neck. And then for his third shot, which was the kill shot, he realizes that the sights are a little bit misaligned, so he adjusts and gets the so-called perfect shot, the kill shot, the headshot. This scenario explains why, even though there's evidence to contradict that rifle was the assassin's rifle, it actually proves the sequence of shots, and it proves that rifle was the actual rifle. So what happened instead of the magic bullet theory? How can I explain all the wounds on the president and Governor Connally's and the bullet hole in the windshield? So for the first shot completely missed, but the second shot, Lee Harvey Oswald shoots the president in the back of the neck. It exits his throat, hits Governor Connally in the back, exiting his breast, and goes directly to the thigh. It does not hit the wrist. This is the main point that the magic bullet theory gets wrong. It did not hit the wrist. In at that moment, when the president is reacting to his throat wound, Governor Connally is holding his hat with his hand. So then Lee Harvey Oswald goes through his third shot, which turned out to be a kill shot, hits the president in the right back of the head, pushing the head slightly forward and blowing out his whole side, pretty much exploding the president's whole side of the head. But the bullet continues. And if you look in the Supreme Film, in that moment, Governor Connally is tilted towards his wife and his wrist is up in the air. It's exactly lined up with the president's head and the sixth floor corner window. So when the bullet goes through the president's head, it gets Governor Connally in the wrist, and it explains why there was more lead residue on Governor Connally's wrist than what was missing from the pristine bullet's lead core. But then the bullet continues and goes and hits the windshield, which explains the bullet hole in the windshield. If you look in the Supreme Film, you will see that Governor Connally reacts to the president's head exploding, even though he cannot see the president. So what Governor Connally is reacting to is being shot in the wrist, not to the president's head exploding. So why did the president's head go slightly forward and then snaps back and to the left, making many people conclude that there was an assassin at the picket fence? There's multiple reasons to conclude that there were no assassins at the picket fence, but the head going back and to the left still needs an explanation. And here is the explanation. It's rather simple, but I'm fairly sure is the truth. The president was wearing a back brace. So when he got shot in the head, it pushed his head forward and slightly to the left. So the back brace, acting as a spring, pulls the president back and his head to the left. If you look at the Saputo film with the knowledge of the president having a back brace on at the time, you will see that the physics, the motions of the president's body and head fits that description, that it wasn't a bullet coming from the front right. It was actually his head going slightly forward because of the bullet hitting him in the back, and because of the back brace, it snapped back into the left, which explains that till now mysterious motion of the head. I don't know why people didn't realize this in the 50 years since. It was obvious to me. As soon as I learned that the president was wearing a back brace, I realized that that's why the head moved in that strange way. It was due to the back brace, then as a spring. So the third aspect that I was referring to earlier that will explain the confusion from when Lee Harvey Oswald was in New Orleans to when the president was in the Naval Hospital getting an autopsy, and all the evidence in between that proves that there was a cover-up, and many people misinterpret that to mean that there was a conspiracy. All that is due to the secrecy and the structure of the CIA. The way I imagine the CIA structure is sort of like an octopus with the head up on top and multiple arms coming off of it, and each arm not knowing what's going on in all the other arms. There's a saying within the CIA, need to know, which means that they only know what they need to know in their local arm of the CIA. So this is what happened right after the assassination. A lot of people within the CIA and within the military, like I said earlier, hated the president, and there was open talk of getting rid of the president. So when the actual assassination happened, a lot of people wrongly but logically assumed that the CIA had killed the president. So not only did CIA agents wrongly assumed that their own organization had killed the president, but they actually thought they had gotten away with it. Not only does this explain the confusion surrounding the actual assassination, but it also explains why official government documents wrongly imply that it was either rogue agents or maybe even the CIA that killed the president. It also explains why some agents, some CIA agents, have confessed to being a part of the assassination, even though the CIA didn't have anything to do with it. They were a part of secret activities that they wrongly assumed were part of the plan to kill the president. This might also explain why many witnesses died in suspicious circumstances. Maybe they were assassinated because, like I said earlier, many within the CIA were trying to cover up what they wrongly assumed had happened, which was that the CIA had killed the president. The points that I'm hoping that whoever is watching this will take with them is the motive. Lee Harvey Oswald did it to get back together with those people in New Orleans. And Lee Harvey Oswald had good reason to think that those people wanted the president dead. Even though, like I said earlier, I highly doubt that those people that would openly talk about killing the president in New Orleans or with it or throughout the CIA would have ever gone through with it. They were mostly boasting or fantasizing or just blowing off steam. But because they spoke of this in front of a fella that by pure coincidence was in a position to actually accomplish the assassination of the president. And the second point is of the actual shooting, that what's wrong with the magic bullet theory or the single bullet theory is that it wasn't a single bullet, it was actually two bullets. The same way that the second shot hit both President Kennedy and Governor Connally, so did the third shot. And that small change in the sequence of shots and the sequence of wounds explained much better than the single bullet theory all the wounds and the bullet hole in the windshield. And the third and final point is that secret organizations are extremely inept. Not only are they not guilty of what they think they did, they wrongly assumed that they had killed the president, and not only that, they assumed that they had gotten away with it, which might explain what followed in that same decade, with other public officials being assassinated and by JFK witnesses dying in mysterious circumstances. And the documents, like I said earlier, and the CIA agents confessing to what they had nothing to do with. Hopefully I've painted a picture that makes much more sense than what other people describe on both sides of the debate, on the conspiracy theory side and on the Warren Commission side. Both sides had their issues, and I think my scenario fixes all of them. And if you think that my JFK solutions make sense, maybe you'll think that my ideas about gravity and the Big Bang might make sense. I'm gonna link them right here. Maybe, hopefully, somebody can critique those ideas for me and let me know what you think. I guess that's it.